Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you and praise you for all the good you're showing in these days. But there are hard days coming, and we need to talk about them and also, be prepared and be holy so we can escape. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to talk about safety amid chaos. I first want to say that I realize that we're in a good time of restoration of the government and the monies that the deep state stole from the people and the destruction of human trafficking and sacrificing of the children. And we thank our God for these wonderful things that are happening and a lot more. But what I want to talk about today is about a darker time that is coming. And it's all actually for the benefit of the church. And some things can be changed, of course, through prayer. So keep that in mind. All right. So the first revelation I want to share with you is called Man-Child and Chaos Birthed, Julie Trimeter, 2/26/2011. In my dream, I was pregnant, and I have never been pregnant in real life, but in the dream, I could just feel the life inside of me. Well, I think it's probably talking about the life of Christ growing in the woman of Revelation 12 by the Word and the Spirit. There was a group of people around me, and I could sense that they were not happy about me being pregnant and didn't want the baby to arrive. Well, that is certainly true. We could tell by the reaction of the Pharisees in Jesus' day, right? They wanted to know. So anyway, these may be a church family or other Christians who resent the relationship of the woman with God because they have little discernment and they don't want to be convicted, right? She went on to say, I left the area where these people were, and I seemed to be wandering around a city. Well, she came out from among them and searched for the beloved, as in Song of Solomon. Massive chaos broke out. Well, as we are entering a time of great confusion now, there were people running and screaming, and I could hear sirens going off all around. Well, there are multiple sirens of warnings, I would say, is what this represents, going off all around us in the nations, the economy, the heavens, the earth, so on and so forth. But just as the chaos broke out, I went into labor. Whoa, okay. At or near the time of tribulation, it will likely begin with a breakdown of law and order around us. And it is at that time that the man-child of a mature ministry of Jesus Christ will begin to come forth as from a woman in travail. I tried to get the attention of the fire truck that was about half a block down the road, but with all that was going on, no one seemed to notice me. In other words, it couldn't bring an end to the chaos, right? There was no relief among men from the fiery judgments, but God was providing an answer, and if men would just receive Him, right? A baby boy was born feet first. In other words, ready to walk the walk, right? He was tiny at first, but each time I looked down at him, he had grown. And in a matter of seconds, he would grow in what a baby should normally grow in weeks and months. Well, the mature manifestation of Jesus Christ in the man-child corporate body of reformers is what's being identified here. Revelation 12 and 1, and a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she was with child. And she cried out, travailing in birth and in pain, to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his heads 7 diadems, and his tail draweth the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. Well, that was the end of the dream. She went on to say, I was meditating on what was signified in the dream by the baby being born feet first, and I think this is what the Lord is showing me. In Daniel, the feet of the statue, that image of the beast, right, represented the last beast kingdom of this age. And I think the feet being born first symbolize that this is a generation of mature saints, and I would say to oppose this beast. Okay. The 10 toes, of course, 10 kings, and so on and so forth. She went on to say, these are those described in Psalm 110 and 3. Thy people offered themselves willingly in the day of thy power, in holy array, out of the womb of the morning of the third day, I would say. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. In my Bible, there is a note that says, quote, power, unquote. Could be translated as an army. And that in holy array, quote unquote, could be translated as the beauty of holiness. Wow, how awesome. The generation of saints who are the feet of his body, who crush Satan, are about to be born. Amen. Psalm 110:1, a psalm of David. The Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Could be applied to the man-child, right? And 1 Corinthians 15:25, for he must reign till he hath put all his enemies under his feet. Again, could be applied to the man-child. Because it's Jesus in the man-child that's going to do the work, right? Hebrews 10:12, but he, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Hebrews 10:13, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made the footstool of his feet. Well, we still see enemies out there, so it's still Jesus doing it, right? Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. In Revelation, Jesus' feet are described like this, Revelation 1:15, and his feet like unto burnished brass, as if it had been refined in a furnace, and his voice as the voice of many waters. I believe that probably the feet of the body of Christ is being talked about here, because this voice of many waters could be many people speaking with the Lord's voice. So they've been refined by the fiery trials of tribulation, she says. Then she had a second dream. I was on what looked like I-70, which runs east and west through the mountains in Colorado. Well, it's very beautiful scenery there, like the temporary reprieve I believe that we will see with Jassara. This speaks of those walking in the straight and narrow highway or road of the scriptures that is along the river of life, who will be able to direct others to the true path, I believe. She went on to say, the highway runs along the Colorado River, and there are steep mountain walls on either side. The shoulder of the highway was wider than in real life, and there were lots of people walking on the shoulder. I would say maybe this means that many people walk on the edge in the wide part of the shoulder, not on the highway of holiness. And this is not where the road of truth and obedience is, which bears fruit, right? She said, I was trying to warn them about the judgment coming, but I was just mocked. In other words, they didn't understand that there is safety on the highway of holiness. They are blind and deaf to the signs around us that judgment is already beginning. She said, suddenly the river started to rise and rain began to pour down. Well, there's that suddenly, right? Suddenly the judgments of the Word of God increase from God above and are evident in the rapid increase of earthly events, such as sudden judgments. The mountains rumbled and debris was flying. Panic and chaos broke out as there was nowhere to hide. Well, governments at every level are shaking. Deficits, downsizing, cutbacks on government services, wars between the left and the right, demonstrations, resistance to authority, and strife are coming and have already begun. And as people realize their life savings, their real estate, jobs, security, retirement, etc., are crumbling away, panic and disorder and chaos would probably result, right? Just as we are seeing in the news everywhere. And many, counting on Jassara, will ultimately meet the book of Revelation that they did not believe in. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that Jassara is not going to initially be good and helpful and help the economy. I'm just saying it's not going to last. I've been saying that from the beginning. Cars began to get carried away by the rising flood. Well, people's families getting carried away in fear, right? I heard someone yell, she was right. Yes, and I think she probably represents the bride here. And the bride has been speaking this. A lot of the church is not speaking this, but the bride has been speaking this, and she was right. And then a large boulder fell in front of me. Well, it's the rock of the unchanging word coming down from above, right? Amen. Amen. I began climbing up the boulder as the rain drenched me. I believe climbing up the boulder is symbolic of taking refuge in Jesus or standing upon the Word, okay, and doing what He says. Once on top of the boulder, I knew the floodwaters could not reach me, and I yelled, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Well, so there is a place of safety standing on the rock, right? The flood waters are sin and judgment, but Christ has made you free and has delivered and saved you, and praise be to the Lord, right? This knowledge will save an awful lot of people. Okay, then we got this one, saved from the flood, electrical loss and chaos, GC 2011. There was a great flood coming, sweeping the land. It did not come from the sky, but came roaring through the terrain like a ferocious river from a source beyond my vision. It seemed there were two waves. The second was greater than the first, and when the second came, it destroyed everything, and water covered the land. Well, this water could have both physical and spiritual meanings. A flood of destruction has and will come. The destructive leftist, anarchist, Satanist, communist, Islamist, and government beast attacks on our country, vax, weather warfare, economic warfare, chemtrail poisoning of food, water, and people. We're enduring a covert civil war against humanity coming from the left. And coming overt civil war with man-made earthquakes, floods to steal more lands for the minerals, etc. We've seen all kind of criminal activity. It's too much to delineate. As I saw the wall of water rushing towards me, I turned around and saw two Eiffel Towers in the distance. I ran to the one on the right. It seemed bigger and stronger. I climbed up it and was saved from the water below. Well, there were two towers in one chapter, Judges chapter 9. One was weaker, symbolizing the modern Tower of Babel, and fell to the beast, symbolized by Antichrist Abimelech and his factious followers, in verses 46 through 49. These are the goats on the left. The sheep tower on the right was stronger. It was named Tabez, which means whiteness, symbolizing Zion and holiness and purity. And it withstood the beast, and he died attempting to assault it in verses 50 through 55. And I suppose that the wider view that could be applicable in this dream is that the Tower of religious cultic Babel was not a safe place, while the Tower of the Flock, Zion, was a safe place, as in Micah chapter 4. So after this scene, somehow I found myself back at my house, which is set high up on a hill, safe from the water. Well, let me say, the house of God on the hill of Zion is the spiritual refuge worldwide. Psalms chapters 15, 24, and 125 all reveal the righteousness, faith, and safety of those who make up spiritual New Testament Zion. Isaiah 60 speaks of the restoration and blessing of Zion and its people. No violence or unrighteousness in her, in verses 18 and 21. In Zephaniah 3:11 through 14, God will separate all the wicked from spiritual Zion only. It's, why do I say only? Because it's spiritual Zion. There is a literal Zion, of course, but it's full of corruption and evil and of your kind of sin. So spiritual Zion is the only place you can have a separation of these people. God sees them. He knows them. In 2 Kings 19:30 through 37, Zion was the only safe place from the beast outside. Not necessarily meaning a war, but certainly chaos and lawlessness. Many people started coming into my house. They were stranded travelers. And although I had no electricity or heat, I had a lot of food and a warm fire to offer them. Well, stranded travelers could well happen when electricity is down and gasoline pumps don't work, or they have shut down the gas and diesel pipelines coming from the southern refineries by earthquakes or sabotage, which has happened before. So in the physical, not having electricity and electric heat could well happen again. A quake could destroy dams where there are hydroelectric and nuclear power plants over faults where the rivers are needed for a coolant for the radiation or to drive generators. Many rivers are created by faults. And interestingly, many have been getting prepared for wood heat. Chickens for eggs and poultry and gardens for fruit and vegetables and miracles to multiply them. And of course, the criminals out there in government love to destroy this independence to make slaves of the people. Loss of electricity would cause chaos in society. We know that the left has tried to bring down the grid before and got hindered. And with homes, government, law enforcement, hospitals, businesses, etc., all now out of action. Everyone would be out of work. A recipe for lawlessness and a time for needed safety. I walked out of the house and down to the bottom of the hill, and there I ran into a small band of militia. They were on patrol and would not allow me to pass. They seemed self-appointed. Well, yes, that's usually how that ends up. But we know chaos and anarchy could well be caused by the powers that be, causing militias to spring into action. And in this case, evil militias could be out to plunder for their own sake. And FEMA has done the same thing and gotten caught doing it. So it's not much you can trust out there. I did not trust them, and I knew they were on the lookout for valuables that they could snatch. I walked back up the hill to my house, and I knew that we were kind of stuck here in the house. But we had plenty, so it wasn't too much of a concern. Well, suppose it did become a concern, you have God. And you have God who multiplies the fishes and the loaves. Miracles come Sometimes you haven't seen a miracle until you need one. You see, they come when you need them, right? So just trust in God wherever you are, whatever you need, trust in Him. This sequence of events could lead to the civil war that we've seen in dreams and revelations. The strong tower and hill represents Zion and its refuge. One brother saw that outside of this area, the military was rounding people up to destroy them for the Satanist overlords. The bottom of the hill represents being outside the refuge of Zion, which is on the hill of Zion. Stuck in the house means it is a refuge from the chaos and the wicked and possible war. On 1/19/2011, he received this. I was inside a building that had both a bank and a restaurant. The bank was on the left and the restaurant was on the right. They were divided by a wall. Well, the bank, I believe, represents provision and finances. But we know it could represent our God. You know, my God shall supply your every need according to His riches in glory. And that doesn't have anything to do with how the economy is. He made the promise, and He means it. So the restaurant represents the spiritual food of the Word, which also supplies your every need, because all those promises meet all of our needs, right? And UBM has been seen as a spiritual restaurant, as in the restaurant at the top of the hill, Revelation, which I will share with you later. I was sitting in the back of the restaurant, and I saw a girl in her mid-20s walk up to the counter and order some food. She was wearing a white outfit and a white tie. And I asked her what she was doing wearing that, and she said it was her work outfit. She was a waitress at another restaurant. She had colored strands in her hair, and her hair was long. And I asked her again about her tie, and she said it was for work. I feel this girl is the bride. She was dressed in white, and she was a waitress who serves others. Her hair had multicolored strands like a rainbow, like Joseph's coat of many colors, which I believe that this represents the different colors in her hair represent the color bands or different attributes of light, which is Jesus, right? Her hair is long because she is in submission, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which where it talks about hair being a representation of submission to the husband, right? And in this case, the hair was represented the bands of light. She was in submission to the bands of light. Okay. She is the bride coming to our spiritual restaurant to feed and going forth to serve in other spiritual restaurants. But what about the restaurants that don't feed truth or have the light? Well, we'll look at that too. After this, we went to my truck and watched the place. Then all of a sudden, the bank's power, which I would say represents God's provision, went out. And that caused the restaurant's power to go out as well. In other words, there are restaurants that will lose the power of God and will have no reason for being. You know, in chaos and in troubles, there are people who know how to handle that. They got an anointing to handle that. They've been through that. They've been through the wilderness, and now they're going to be able to lead others through the wilderness. But most of the church out there is just dumbfounded. They don't know what to do in a situation like this. The bank's sign was totally black, and every light inside the building went out. So they had light, but it went out. The restaurant's power went out, but there were a few lights on inside, maybe from emergency lights. But it was really dark inside, too, and we waited and watched, but the power never came back on. Seems like we've had dreams like that. God's anointing and power will depart from the apostate teachings. In other words, the apostate restaurants. The spiritual restaurant will have emergency power. Yeah. So the main power source came from the bank. In other words, God, who is our provider. It powered both units. Once the bank went black, the restaurant soon followed. The restaurant seemed to be still operating, but only at half power. Well, GC's local UBM fellowship, as a spiritual restaurant serving spiritual food, will have emergency lights. And I'm glad that we will have our own power source when the worldly grid of man and its source goes down. Because we've already seen that the deep state has tried to bring down the grid and were stopped at least in one case by the Alliance. Could have been others where they did bring it down. That's all testing for the big time, I think. Okay, this we call gold and silver woes. Gold burning. Gideon Smith, 2010. In this dream, my wife and I were walking outside on a bright and sunny day. Then I looked in the air and saw a very large gray U.S. military transport aircraft. I then noticed that its flying maneuvers were very strange. It appeared to be zipping around, doing front and back flips and other odd movements that should be impossible for a plane of that size to perform. Well, planes are like ministries. Their purpose is to help us overcome the world and reach heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? Then my eyes seemed to be able to zoom in on the plane, and I noticed it was not the kind of plane I thought it was from far away. So if this is represents a ministry that is peculiar, there's a lot of them out there. In fact, they don't look like the scriptures at all. There's no body ministry, there's no fellowship, it's come as a spectator and go home, right? It actually did not look like any plane I've ever seen before. On close inspection, it is not a normal economy, nothing we have ever seen before, right? Then as my eyes zoomed out, it appeared to be the same large U.S. military transport plane. So, let me say, very large ministries on close inspection show severe scriptural flaws. Then, as it was going in its circular motion, they do go in circles instead of up, because they reach the end of their knowledge, they turn around and start going again, right? The first church I actually stayed in for about a year, they were like that. They went in circles, and I noticed it. It didn't take them long to start to circle over. So that they might have preached a little different word, but it was always about the same things. Everything they thought you really needed, you know. It began to move faster and faster, and then it began to descend very fast towards the ground, and it crashed. And when it hit the ground, there was a gigantic explosion. I mean, it was huge, and a very large plume of fire rose to the sky, and there was great fear. When I saw the explosion, I thought to myself, wow, this happened sooner than I expected. Well, think back at how many huge ministries have crashed, like, for instance, all the way back in Jesus' time, the Sanhedrin. Yeah, how many of them crashed? Then I began to run from this large flame that began to erupt from the explosion. And as I ran, I saw a vision of an image of this woman's head, which looked like it was made of gold. And her face and head were burning with flames. Well, we know the head of gold is Babylon, right? So the harlot was burned with the fire of the end-time beast like the ones of Jesus' day. And that's spoken so in Revelation. So then, as I saw the vision, I understood it to be the Statue of Liberty. Well, God gave liberty and value, it was a gold head, to the U.S. When we were considered a Christian country. God gave this country a lot at that time. But every religious lie is taking away that liberty, and the beast here is taking her down. And also, America's economy will ultimately fall very destructively, even though Nasara will give it a short or a shot in the arm, you know, and I should say a short shot. in the arm, because it's going to last for a while, and it's going to be good, but it's not going to end that way. Even gold will be useless. In the last depression, there was a four-day bank holiday during which they made a law so they could grab the gold, and it became useless to individuals or corporations. The book of Revelation is coming with its times of trouble and chaos, and it will not be 1,000 years of peace and prosperity because sin is here, and that must be judged. Whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. So after seeing this, I began to pray in the Spirit, at which point I came out of that vision. Then I opened my eyes and found myself sitting inside a movie theater, praying loud in the Spirit, and everyone was looking at me like I was crazy, as if nothing happened. Well, movie theaters, like many ministries, are for play acting or fakery. It cannot be trusted, and neither can the prosperity thieves who run it. So they did not see what I saw. They were getting ready to watch a movie. And then I woke up. Well, we've been told many times by the Alliance that we're watching a movie with masked actors and clones. How real that is. It's in the church too. Okay, we call this one Abide in the Word, Safe from the Destroyer. This was Jenny from Minnesota, 2009. There was an apartment building with a lot of different rooms or apartments. I believe this represents the church, which, according to Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, is many houses built together into one temple for God. Each individual house represents a person. My mother and I each had an apartment next door to each other. A man walked down the hall and was knocking at the doors and telling the people he was a locksmith, so they would open their door. And when people opened their door, he would kill them. Well, in the Passover, in Exodus 12, when the blood was on the doorposts, God warned the people not to open their door or go out, or the destroyer would be able to kill them. The blood represents their faith in the sacrifice of the Lamb who was slain, which was between them and the destroying angel. The destroyer represents Satan's administration of the curse, which the Lamb bore upon himself, if we would abide in him through faith, right? 1 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, "For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ." My mother opened her door to this man, and he then killed her. She wasn't really dead, but I read it in the newspaper. And so that's how I knew, because I knew this man was a deceiver and not really a locksmith. There are many deceivers that knock on people's doors, and they've taken captive many people. Okay. And ultimately they die because it's not the food of the good restaurant. I didn't open the door. When I thought he was gone, I went out into the hall, and then I saw him, and he killed me. I do remember that my mom and I were able to come back to life. Okay, so it's a spiritual death, right? Because through the knowledge of God, they came out from among them and into the light. Okay. He was waiting for people to open their doors so he could kill them. And they would open up because they trusted him. Well, of course, he's a preacher and, you know, he's gone to school and he knows about this stuff and we need to find out, right? I somehow knew that his weapons were words, sounds, and actions. And that's how he killed people. Well, 2 Timothy 3 and 6 says, "For of these are they that creep into houses," there you go, "and take captive silly women," which I believe are religious sects, S-E-C-T-S, "laden with sins, led away by divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And we know that the truth is what sets us free and gives us fruit, right? I remembered the scripture, how the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So it made sense to me who this man was. Of course, Jesus was talking about the Pharisees of his day and how they came to kill and destroy. If we do not abide in the house, like in the Passover, who is Jesus, the Word of God, we're under the legal authority of the curse. Satan comes with his words, sounds, and actions of our thoughts or those around us to talk us out of the word of Jesus. And if we walk by our external senses instead of by faith in the true word, Satan has a legal right to destroy us. And as Jesus said in Revelation 22 and 18, "I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book." And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. Both things, by the way, happen quite often in churches. God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this book. So you see, you can actually lose your spiritual life. And that's why God tells us, don't add to or take away from the word. And in order to do that, you need to get to the word before you get to a religion. Because they're going to convince you, and they're going to impress you, and the preacher is going to impress you. Okay? But if you get in the word of God before you go, you'll see through it. You'll stay safe. You won't add to or take away from the word. It was God who had the destroyer on a leash and said he would not permit the destroyer to come into the faithful's houses. The destroyer really isn't a locksmith because he can't open our doors. We have to let him in. And as with Jenny and her mom, who represent the church, we are able to come back to life if we return to abiding in the Word. Jesus likened himself to one who was grieved because he was like a hen seeking to gather his chicks under his wings, but they would not come. They were all caught up in the denominations of Judaism. And those denominations turned the people against him, and they crucified him and his disciples. So you see, there it's a trap. It's a death trap. That's why you have to get in the Word. When you get saved, read the New Testament. Read it. Meditate on it. See what a church is supposed to look like before you ever bother to visit one. Because they'll impress you with the worldly ways, right? Psalm 91, 1 and 4 says, if we abide in the secret place of the Most High, we will be under the shadow and wings of the Almighty. And who can bother you there, right? The promises of the Word in the midst of our trials are our refuge. Hebrews 10 and 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. So you have to learn to walk by faith in the Word and not walk by sight. And this is something that a lot of the churches cannot teach you, for they don't do that. So according to the promises of the Word, you were saved, healed, and delivered from all of the curse, including your enemies. Hold fast to this and speak it before men. That's how you see it come to pass, right? Okay, now I'm going to share with you that restaurant at the top of the hill. Anonymous. I had a dream really early in the morning on Father's Day. The father doesn't forget his spiritual fathers. He knows them, right? Because they only sow his seed, right? Paul called himself a father. He said, you have not many fathers, but I begat you through the gospel. He sowed the seed of God, right? So I dreamed that there were three beautiful pieces of land high up on a hill. The views were breathtaking. The properties were huge. The land was lush and green. There was a debate going on in the community about who was the rightful owner of the property at the very top of the hill. And I believe this is the Hill of Zion. It was the best, most beautiful, and largest of all three properties. After much fighting among the community, the courts ruled that David was the rightful owner of that highly coveted property. And I believe this represents the David man-childs who ruled in Zion and over the rest of the body, and God is replicating that in our day in a spiritual way. He was not in the fight for the property, but when the courts gave the ruling, he did not seem surprised. An amazing proof of this came in the natural long after this revelation. I was given the property on the very top of the tallest hill in the whole area. The way it worked out, a guy who was going to rent this property asked me if I would go here with him. He wanted to go and look at it with the real estate guy and rent the property. And so while they were talking and walking around, I walked through the house. I said, "Wow, Lord, I like this place. This is real nice. Can you find me a place like this?" Little did I know at the time. The Lord actually told the man and his wife while we were staying there with them for a while, myself and Michael, that this house belonged to David. So anyway, I didn't do it. I didn't say it. I didn't say a word. It just happened. And Eve, who wasn't thinking of all of this, prophesied that this was God's house and property. She prophesied that this was God's house and property. So we can see a type and a shadow being used, a parable being used of me receiving this property at the top of the hill, right? And, of course, I agree it's God's house and property. We're not owners, we're stewards, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. The land represents our physical life and our ministry, which God is preparing on his hill of spiritual Zion to serve others. Hebrews 6 and 7 says, "For the land which hath drunk the rain," that's the Holy Spirit and the Word, that's what the rain represents, like the latter rain, right? And the words, the living waters that come out of the mouth of the person who has the latter rain, right? Okay, so that cometh upon it and bringeth forth herbs, which is fruit, meat for them whose sake it is also tilled. And we, of course, till up our fallow ground so we can receive the seed and it will have a good foundation to grow, right? Receiveth blessing from God, but if it beareth thorns and thistles, which is bad fruit, right, it is a rejected and nigh unto a curse, whose end is to be burned. Yes, and we've seen people bear bad fruit, even though they were taught good word. They rejected it. Malachi 3:11, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast its fruit before the time in the field." Right? That's a bad deal too, isn't it? Saith the Lord of hosts, "And all nations shall call you happy, for you shall be a delightsome land." Notice who the land is. It's the people. Our natural life has within it the seed that brings forth the spiritual man, right? And, of course, we know that the spiritual man, like the Israelite, went into the promised land and kicked out the carnal man and took the land and took the property. And that's what's supposed to happen in our life. Okay, "You shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's husbandry." And the Greek word for husbandry there is tilled land, God's building. So he's saying that this land being tilled and bearing fruit, that's God's building, right? Everybody thought you were going to build a large, beautiful home for you and your family up there. But to everybody's shock, you built a restaurant. People were scoffing at you, thinking you were stupid for not building a beautiful home for yourself. Well, a restaurant represents a place to spiritually feed many of God's people. Sadly, the multitudes here have not discerned many leaders are fleeing the sheep to build their own house rather than feeding the sheep to build God's house, right? Because the sheep are God's house, right? They together are God's house. So Ezekiel 32, 34 and 2 says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, even to the shepherds, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, woe unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill the fatlings, but you feed not the sheep." And Haggai 1 and 4 says, "Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your sealed houses, while this house lieth waste?" And in verse 8, "Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it." Of course, he's talking about the house of God, right? "And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that lieth waste, while ye run every man to his own house. Therefore, for your sake, the heavens withhold the dew, and the earth withholdeth its fruit." So, when my family and I heard that you built a restaurant, we hurried up the hill to see your restaurant and enjoy a nice meal there. And we were all excited. We sat down at a table with a view and waited for the waiter to come. And when the waiter came to our table, we realized that you were our waiter. So we asked you why you didn't hire a waiter so you wouldn't have to be the waiter. And you simply said you wanted to do it yourself. Well, all the better. We thought we wanted to see you, but we thought that we most likely wouldn't be able to because you would be too busy. And we were so happy to be able to talk to you. Well, it's very nice to be able to have personal fellowship with God's beloved people. I have always hated the elitist attitude of the Nicolaitan ministers. Jesus said, "He that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and all ye are brethren." So we placed our order with you and were waiting for our meal. We began to notice that there were a lot of people coming to your restaurant, but they weren't staying. They were leaving upset. And when we asked you why they were leaving, you told us that they were upset because you were their waiter. They thought you should have hired a waiter and were offended. In other words, a hireling. Put a hireling in, right? They were offended that you didn't. My family and I thought, what's the big deal? It's even better that you are our waiter. Why be so offended? Well, believe me, the man-child ministry that's coming is going to be offending a lot of people, right? A lot of people, just like Jesus did, okay? And sometimes when multitudes left him, like in John 6 and 6 and 6, they left him because they didn't want to hear that word he had shared with them, right? So it went on to say, why be so offended? You brought us our meal. It was delicious. The view was gorgeous, and we had a wonderful time talking with you. We loved your restaurant and knew we would be back many times. The whole time we were there, however, many people came and left offended. Well, that sure fits very well with the factious, you know. Some people just don't know enough or not enough foundation to stick around, and they're usually the first ones to leave, you know. He that's of God hears the words of God. It's just what Jesus said, and it's true. We knew that they were missing out, but we couldn't convince them to stay. And then I woke up. Well, some don't like the waiter, and some don't like the meal, right? As it was with Jesus, the true ministers and their teaching cannot be popular with those who claim to be God's people while they love the world, and they're not willing to give up their life to gain their life. John 15 and 18. If the world hateth you, you know that it hath hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. You certainly are feeding me and my family right now, and we all want to be at the top of the three properties right alongside the man child and the bride, right? So this is a bigger picture, obviously, than just our little local place. So we're eating the bread of life and drinking the fountain of living waters. Thank you for serving us and feeding us. Blessings on you in Jesus' name. So we will run out of time to bring in the harvest when no more people will listen, and then the day of the Lord's wrath will come. This one we called Chaos and Woe. Messianic Pastor Caleb Kinley. These are Spirit-filled people, right? But they hold to a lot of Old Testament wording sometimes. So just, you know, understand the revelation that the Lord gave them, because he loves them and he wants them to know and to grow, right? Shabbat Shalom. May YHWH, that's actually the true name of the Lord in the Old Testament, before men added the vowels so the flesh could speak it as Jehovah or Yahweh. You see, that's what that was, right? And truly bless you this Shabbat, and may he wrap his arms of love around you and embrace each of you into his glory. I have included a dream I had several times about a week or so ago. I'm not a prophet, and this is only a dream, but usually at least parts, if not all, of some of my dreams do come true. For example, 2 weeks before September the 11th, I did dream of the exact events verified by my mother and my wife. About 3 days before the December 26, 2004 tsunami that hit Indonesia, I dreamed the tsunami would happen, and it came true, verified by my mother and my wife and my congregational members as I shared the tsunami dream with my congregation. And again, I'm not a prophet, and I pray this does not alter anyone's opinion of me. I'm too afraid to not share this dream and can only hope and pray this one does not transpire anyway. But I say it will, as the day of the Lord's wrath transpire. These were terrifying to me, to say the least. The dream began with a loud voice saying, "Thus saith Elohim, the wicked have witnessed chaos, and still they refuse to repent. Chaos times chaos times chaos. They ignore my call and refuse to gather under my wings. Chaos times chaos times chaos. They are busy bodies with idle hands, putty for evil. And they send a rancid stench to my nostrils. Oh, miserable wretches they have become. They worship the sun and everything that is under the sun but me. They worship man but not me. They worship lust but not me. They worship envy and covetousness but not me. They worship power, money, and fame but not me. They worship science and nature but not me. They bow down to pleasure for a season, and I will cut them off from among my people. Therefore, chaos times chaos times chaos will be their just reward. Watch and see, O servant, watch and see the meaning of chaos times chaos times chaos. O servant, take and eat of this parchment, and your tears will be for visions, and your tongue shall prophesy forth my words. Few will hear you speak of my words, and fewer will come forth and share the mantle of my blessings. Many will not believe and will continue in their sin and make great hate of you and the rest of my servants. The infidels will despise my people and bear false witness to try and remove the virtue from my bride. But the light of your menorah will not burn out. Thus saith Elohim, YHWH. Well, there was more than I just cannot remember right yet. I was then lifted up above the high mountains by a breeze of wind, and the wind was like an invisible floor, so that I was able to stand in the sky and see the earth through the wind, like it had a glass floor. There were great movements of water in the oceans and seas. Hurricanes? Question mark. Bearing Greek names that caused more flooding and wreaked more devastation. Then came a pause, and I'm not sure if the days of the pause represent days, months, or years, but once the quiet pause was completed, there were four or five great lights that came from the ground and turned the mountains into dust and rubble. I believe it's talking about nuclear war. The flesh of people from miles away dissolved, and all that was left from those who perished were their skeletons, clean down to the bones. They had no eyes, and their eye sockets were clean as if someone had used bleach to clean out a white plate. Many who survived were maimed amputees, and as they wept, bright green tears mixed with blood melted away the parts of their face, made wet by their tears with a fizzing sound like Alka-Seltzer. They had no eyelids, as their eyelids dissolved because of their tears, and their eyes swelled up until they looked bug-eyed. It was then that the skeletons of the dead came alive and hunted the living and killed whoever they caught. I believe this is probably talking about pandemic disease, or passing on their radiation to others or whatever. The result of a nuclear energy, I believe. Okay. And then the earth opened up in many places, swallowing up many of those who survived the bright lights, and the oceans and the seas grew large, sending waves and storms, too many to count. The dead of many floated on the water and included women, children, babies, animals, men, and cities once hidden from the water were now covered in water. And the rivers and the oceans and the seas cried because they were polluted by rotten flesh and blood. I could hear the cries of thousands of people, and the cries made my ears have sharp pains, so that I had to put my fingers in my ears. And many of the living blasphemed YHWH and searched for his people to place blame on us. They said, "Let us find the bride and eat their flesh, for it will taste sweet like honey." But I will say that God will rescue his people at that day of the Lord's wrath. As you know, they only enter into it for 40 days to see and behold the reward of the wicked. Okay, and then the ark lifts off. Go back and read it. It's that way. So then I saw great famine, such as has never been. Rich nations were now begging for bread and were happy to pay much money for rotten bread covered with worms. And many began drinking unclean water from rivers and oceans and seas that were still full of dead human flesh. And some would drain the blood of their children and roast their child over an open fire and then feast upon their children, drinking their blood while eating their flesh. In other words, these people that were left were reprobated of any form of conscience or goodness. And being merry. And disease stood tall and caused many more to perish. Well, that's a very nasty revelation there. But we don't want to be here in the time of the great and terrible Day of the Lord. And it shall come. But God's people will be leaving in the very beginning of that Day of the Lord. And search as they might, they're through persecuting God's people. And even though God's people through the 7 years of tribulation will be tormented by the wicked in order for them to seek refuge in the Lord and in his word and in his promises. This will cause many people to turn to the Lord who have only had a very shallow relationship with the Lord. So there is an advantage in all things that are coming. Many people confuse the tribulation 7 days or 7 years with the eighth day or year, Isaiah 34 and 8, which it says that the day of the Lord is a year, okay, very clearly. So they confuse the two and they say, well, we are not appointed unto wrath. Well, that's true. You're not appointed unto the wrath of the Lord in the day of the Lord, but the tribulation is not that day. The tribulation is a trial and a test for God's people to see who is going to be in the ark when it lifts off. So there is a difference, a major difference. Yes, even in the tribulation, we read in the book of Revelation, you know, many terrible things happen, but they're doing that now too, obviously. Many terrible things will happen, but it's not yet the wrath. What I just read, I'm sure, is talking about the wrath of God. The wrath of God is all, you know, there's been types of the wrath of God back throughout history, and what it is a place when God decides to judge the people who have persecuted his people. Notice his people won't be in the midst of that. They'll be in the ark. And they'll be in the ark for 40 days into this day of the Lord. Because as the word says, you know, only thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. So God's people get to view the reward of the wicked for 40 days before the rest of that year takes them down, takes the wicked down. And, of course, the ark lifts off after the 40 days, as we've explained in Hidden Manna very clearly with types and shadows and clear revelations. You can go back and read it in Hidden Manna. On our site, it's free. You can go read it there. So, at any rate, we are getting prepared to, I would say, like Moses was, who went into the wilderness to learn about God and to go and bring God's people there to the mountain of God to learn about God. We learn about God in the wildernesses, and the wilderness, of course, is the tribulation, where many people are going to learn what they never did for all the years of their life under apostate Christianity. There they will learn faith. And if they don't, they may die in the wilderness, just as the Israelites did, right? That doesn't mean that they all missed heaven. But many of them will. And this is also to weed out the wicked from among the righteous, right? The tares from among the wheat, the goats from among the sheep. The tribulation will do this separating thing. Jesus, remember what Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword, and to set a person aloof of their family, sometimes neighbors, whatever, you know, because when you come into the image of Christ, they will like you no more than they liked Jesus, as he just said, as I shared with you. The world is so contrary in its nature, in its love of self, that they couldn't possibly love someone like Jesus. And the only people that do come out of the world and follow Jesus are drawn of the Father. Father said that no one can come unto the Son. He said this through Jesus. No one can come unto the Son except the Father draws them. And so when we go out and share the gospel, and we're going to have the most wonderful opportunity to share the gospel. Everything is provided to do this. The organization, everything is already prepared. Okay, we're going to have a great opportunity to get the word out. We're getting it out now. But this is much greater than what we've seen so far. And, you know, he that's of God hears the words of God. We go out and we share the truth and the blessing of the gospel to everybody that will stand there and listen. Some will reject it and some will not. And those who don't, It's because they're drawn of the Father. Nobody can come to Jesus without being drawn of the Father. So we're finding those people. They're the ones we're actually looking for. You know, Paul said, I do all things for the elect's sake. Well, primarily, he shared it with everybody. But as far as it prospering that person, that only happens with the elect. And the elect are those chosen from the foundation of the world to be in the kingdom. Okay? And even though some people may start out as a chosen person, they can lose that, as the book of Revelation tells us clearly, you know. So we're getting prepared to escape. Let me say that the man, child, and bride will escape the trial in the wilderness because they've already been through their trial and wilderness and already been persecuted by the wicked and so on and so forth. So the tribulation or test in the wilderness is not going to be much of a terrible thing for them, okay? It will be a test of the rest of the church as to whether they're going to be in the ark or not, right? As whether they're going to miss the great and terrible day of the Lord at the end, which is a year at the end of the 7 years, are they going to be there or not? And, it, of course, the gospel and what we're sharing right now should help people to realize we have to redeem the time because the days are evil. We have to learn to lose our life in this world to gain our higher life. And of course, that's why we're still in this world that this happens. Jesus said that we must lose our life to gain our life. They don't want to lose their life. They want the peace and the prosperity and all the benefits of the world. And they don't want to go into the wilderness. The thing about God is he loves his people so much, he's going to force his people into the wilderness. Kind of like Pharaoh's army was in there behind the Israelites as they fled across the Red Sea. And God took down their enemies there, a type of the baptism which puts to death the old man and gives to life the new man. And so they went into the wilderness, and they were kind of forced there by the enemies, right? And so God is not going to wait for a lot of people to decide that they want to go into the wilderness, much like Moses did ahead of time, so he could learn wilderness living and come back and bring the people of God through it, right? So, these things are all going to be fulfilled in the coming days. But also the man-child ministry, as we shared at the very beginning of this, is coming about. And this is going to teach people wilderness living and truth, which sets free, which delivers the captives, right? And the truth that is going to be shared by the man-child reformers, which is, of course, to reform what they've lost over the years of what was given to us in the beginning. Because remember, what was given in the beginning, we couldn't add to or take away from. So therefore, if you want to know what a church looks like, you have to go back there to find out. And what Christ looks like, you go back there to find out. You can't have a modern-day Jesus. They do have that. Paul warned about that. Another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. And, of course, that's all throughout the churches. That's why the tribulation is coming. And the people of God will recognize the truth when they hear it. The man-child ministry is God's mercy just like it was in Jesus' day. Jesus started that revival in his day, and people were coming out of the denominations of Judaism in his day. And he went into the sheepfold and called his own by name, and they came and followed him out of the sheepfold. And they became one flock and one shepherd. Glory be to God. And it's going to be the same in these days. One flock, one shepherd. They're going to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. So, it's a glorious day. And we're on the very verge, I believe, of the man-child ministry being birthed. The people of the man-child are in the earth today. It's not a birthing of the flesh. It's a birthing of the spirit man. And these people will be anointed as Jesus was anointed, except greater. Greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father, Jesus said. It'll be greater works, but it'll still be greater works done by Jesus, because he's the one that does the work in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's going to do the work. He's going to do the miracles. He's going to resurrect the dead. He's going to repair things. He's going to destroy the curse which he bore upon himself. He bore the curse upon himself so that we don't have to bear it. And literally, we are coming to the place where some people are not going to be under the curse, and you're going to notice it. Okay, you're going to know them when you see them. They're not under the curse. Okay. So Jesus demonstrated that in his day, and he talked about the great restoration in Joel, right? From all the years that the cankerworm, the palmer worm, and the caterpillar destroyed in his crop, he said that it would all be restored. And also in Acts, the same thing, whom the heavens must receive until the time of the restoration of all. Ooh. So there are a people who believes that we're not under the curse. And that faith, of course, will be met. The word of God will not come back void. It will accomplish what it was sent to do. So God is destroying the curse. Many curses have been, attacked by many of God's people, and they've been victorious, and they're able to share that testimony with others. And the combined influence of people being delivered from all kinds of curses will come into the knowledge of people, and they will understand this is what the Lord provided for us. And it's there for us, and we can take hold of it. So what we want to do is put the Word of God in our hearts. More so than going to church. It's more important than going to church. I'm not saying don't gather with the church, but let me say this too. You may grow if you are coming out of the world and coming into the church. You may go to a church and find that they're not sticking to the word. They're adding to and they're taking from it, which is dangerous, as the Lord says. And then you go looking for something that looks more according to your understanding of what the church is supposed to look like. So that's why we need to all the time be reading the Word of God, applying the Word of God to everything. And remember what Jesus told his early disciples. He said, "You go out and make disciples, and you teach them to observe everything I told you." See, the church is saying, no, he just told that to the early disciples, which is a lie. They were told to tell us everything and to put us under everything that he told them. So therefore, we have the same authority that was given to them. When you make disciples, you give them authority. That's what Jesus did. He sent them forth with authority. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Right? Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. That's authority. So this authority being passed on by Jesus to those disciples caused them to be called Christians because they walked as Christ and they talked as Christ and they lived as Christ. And truly, in our day, there's going to be people that are going to value this and come to the revelation of this and realize that it's not enough to sit on a church pew and let some hireling up there tell you how to live, but not how to get there, right? And so this gospel is going to go forth with power. And the churches are going, as we saw, with their partial doctrines and things, going to have no power. God's going to remove his power completely from them. It's not that way now. You can go into a lot of churches and get healing or deliverance or whatever, you know. But if they don't go on in these days, since we are running out of time and we're commanded to redeem the time, okay, in these days, you know, they were in the end time of the first people of God. Okay, now we're in the end time of the church. All those who are born of God. And so they had an end time and we've got an end time. Okay. So in our end time, we have to redeem the time because the days are shortened. And there is going to be a great falling away because some people realize where we're going and they don't want to go there. They don't want to give up the world. They don't want to stop buying and selling with the world. They'll take the mark of the beast, just like many out there are preaching about the mark of the beast. It's okay to take the mark of the beast, they say. Hey, I'm talking about the people who claim to be Christians. It's okay to take the mark of the beast because the mark of God trumps the mark of the beast. No, it doesn't. He tells you very plainly that they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever, right? No, it's very clear they don't want to believe it, and they're not believing it. They're believing it's okay to take the mark of the beast so that they can buy and sell and feed their children and so on and so forth. Now, we know that God can feed our children. He doesn't need us to deal with the world to feed our children. He said, "My God shall supply your every need according to his riches and glory." The Lord will supply our needs. He will do it. I've been there. I know it. And I know it's so. So, and I know that a lot of people are getting their understanding enlarged so that they know that they can go there too, because God will be their Savior, their provider, their Jehovah Jireh, right? And they'll be blessed. They'll be blessed to have their understanding expanded, to understand that everything that Jesus was, he gave unto us. He made an exchange. And that exchange was his life for our life, his health for our health, everything. He made a katalesso. He made an exchange, a reconciliation. An exchange. This is already accomplished. So it's so much accomplished that when we look in the mirror, we are to see Jesus. Because we don't live anymore. Amen? And now, Jesus can handle these things. He can handle the tribulation. He can handle the people. He can handle the persecution. He can handle all of this. And we just have to let him live because he is the Word and the Spirit in us that wants to lead this life. He said, if you don't lose your life, you will not gain your life. He's talking about two different lives there. There is the carnal life and the spiritual life. The carnal means fleshly life. and the spiritual life. We have to lose our carnal life to have our spiritual life. We have to choose to walk in the steps of Jesus. Let everyone that says that they abide in him walk as he walked. That's what we're commanded, to walk as he walked. These signs will accompany them that believe. So if anybody can tell you who a believer is, it would be Jesus. And he said that the believers have these signs. Supernatural signs. And so, but there's a lot of people that say they're believers. They're only partially believers. But they, in most cases, reject, I'd say in the overwhelming majority of cases, they reject the supernatural aspects of Christianity. Then they're all taught. It all passed away with the apostles, right? So then you're adding to and taking from the Word of God. Notice, that's what they do. Why do they die before their time? And you can go to them and say, hey, this is not necessary. Jesus healed you. He healed you of this disease. This is not necessary. He provided for you. This is not necessary. And they can't hear you. And some of them, you know, when they're placed in that position, they open their understanding and permit the understanding to come in. And others, even then, even though they might be dying, they will not accept it. They will not. And I'm not saying all of them are going to miss the kingdom, but there is differences of reward in the kingdom. There is star glory reward. There is moon glory reward, and there is sun glory reward. And so there are different places in the kingdom, positions in the kingdom, glories in the kingdom. The new bodies are more glorious for the hundredfold. They've lied about the whole situation, because what they're doing is dragging God down on their level, because they don't feel they can come up to his level. But he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. You know, when we believe in the sacrifice of Jesus, we believe he bore our curse. We believe he bore our sickness, as the Bible clearly says, you know, these things. We believe he gave us his life, his righteousness, his purity. Be ye therefore holy as I am holy, right? He gives us commands like that that just get totally ignored, you know. Well, if God couldn't do it, he wouldn't tell us to do it. We know we can't do it, but we can believe that we don't live anymore. He lives in us. We believe in the reconciliation of Jesus. We believe in the restoration of all. Will all be restored like that? No, they won't, because they don't believe to that extent. It doesn't mean they're going to miss heaven. There is going to be 30, 60, and 100-fold there. But notice, that was one out of four. What happened to the rest of them that heard the gospel? They didn't make it. You see, when they find out the cost of what you have to give in order to have that, they don't want to go there. Or they say, well, I'll come to the Lord later before I die. You don't have that control over things, you know. You just, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, you're not to plan your future or think you know that what you can do in your future. You can't do anything if God doesn't permit it. And if you turn him away now, you have no guarantee that you'll ever have another chance. So I say, come to Jesus, accept his sacrifice, bow down to him, submit to him, learn that he was not just a sacrifice, he was an example to us. We're told that if we say we abide in him, which is the only place you can bear fruit, we will walk as he walked. So therefore, we're studying the Master, and he is showing us as his little children, his disciples, what he expects of us. Lord, we praise you. We thank you that you've made this totally available to us, and you even work in us to willing to do of your good pleasure. And we need that constantly, because the old flesh is always trying to return to the dust, you know, and crawl through the dust like the serpent, like the old flesh is like that. Lord, we want you to draw us and anoint us mightily with your Holy Spirit. Anyone who is out there and hasn't yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as they did in the book of Acts, very clearly, and they did signs and wonders and miracles. Even Jesus, who went into the wilderness and was filled with the Holy Spirit, came back to do signs and wonders and miracles and so on. The Holy Spirit takes of mine and declares it unto you, Jesus said. You need the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. Well, how are you going to be a witness of Jesus and Christianity if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit like he was? The Holy Spirit empowers us, enlightens us. You don't need any man to teach you. You have an anointing from the Holy One. That's the Holy Spirit. Everybody who gets the Holy Spirit suddenly realizes that their understanding of the supernatural and spiritual things has been expanded. And so everyone, you read the book of Acts and you see what they got when they were filled with the Spirit, and you get what they got, and then you will do what they did. Okay? You must receive the Holy Spirit. 90-something or high number of Christians have never received the Holy Spirit. And that's sad. But here's a promise, I would say. When the people of God were going out of Egypt and going into the wilderness, they were baptized in the sea and in the cloud. And that's the Holy Spirit baptism, okay? In the sea, of course, is when the old man died beneath the waters. That was the Egyptian, the old man. And the born-again man came up on the other side. That was their baptism. But they were also, when they entered the wilderness, which the Bible tells us in Revelation 12 and Revelation, 17, I think, is the tribulation. The first and second 3.5 years of the tribulation. So going into the wilderness, there was an outpouring of the Spirit. I say it's going to happen again. God's going to fill people with the Holy Spirit. Now, he says in Joel, it will be the former rain and the latter rain. In others, some people may, centuries all the way back to Christ, people have received the former rain. And some people say in the beginning of the 1900s, we received the latter rain. No, that is not the truth. It's in these days that the latter rain is going to be poured out. And just as the former rain was poured out by Jesus, when he spoke to them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit," in these days, the man-child ministry is going to pass. First of all, they're going to be the first ones to receive the latter rain of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was the first one to receive the former rain of the Holy Spirit. The man child is going to be the first ones to receive the latter rain of the Holy Spirit, and they will then be able to impart it to other people. Like Jesus did, receive ye the Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them, and the Holy Spirit came to them. And so, you see, everything is being repeated according to the types and shadows of Scripture. The things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Now, they say their religion is the religion that we see in the Bible, but when you look at it, you know that's not true. That's why we have to study the Scriptures and not add a word or take a word from it. That's it. God laid it down. He's not going to change. We must change. So thank you, Father, for doing that. Thank you for your holy word being poured out among us. Thank you for the anointing of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God that's been passed on to us. And thank you that those gifts of the Holy Spirit are ours today to receive by faith and to walk in. They're all chosen by God for each and every one of us to do a part of Jesus' ministry. You'll notice the gifts of the Holy Spirit were all manifested through Jesus because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The former rain. The latter rain is the greater rain. It's the more powerful anointing that's coming upon the man-child ministry in whom Jesus lives. So Jesus is just going to continue his ministry through these reformers. And when we listen to them, we're going to hear the same thing as if Jesus was standing there. And we're going to see the same miracles as if Jesus was doing them, because he is doing them. And glory be to God. It's coming. It's coming very fast. And we've been talking about it for years and years. And, you know, the Lord has prophesied to me that we were the point of the spear. In other words, to open the understanding of this to people out there so that they know that they can take a part in this. They had to have it revealed to them, like the Lord revealed it to me. You know, I believe that that God is going to, through the words that we have been teaching to others, put an ambition and a desire in people to walk as he walked and to do those signs and wonders. People listened to Jesus and they were impressed by the signs and wonders that God confirmed. It was God doing this through him. That's what it was, a confirmation for those that had any discernment whatsoever. And in these days, you know, you can go out there powerless and you can bring people into a powerless church. But that's not what God desires. He desires the full anointing to go forth, was confirmed by signs and wonders following, as it says in the Scriptures. Because people don't need to be just impressed with man and his ways. They need to be impressed with God, who is proving who it is that's following him. Who it is that's got the true teaching of the Lord. And who it is that God is putting the focus on. You see, in the days of Jesus, the Pharisees and Sadducees had zero power. So God grabbed the attention of people around Jesus because they saw the power of God. They knew it was the power of God. And they knew that this was a confirmation of his teachings. And of course, the jealousy of the Pharisees and Sadducees wanted to kill him for it. and later his disciples for it, and the same thing will happen in these days. The things that have been are the things that shall be. And this is all part of God's revelation to his people. Lord, we thank you so much. Your plan is the best plan. It is so awesome, and we're so looking forward to it, Lord. Lord, we've all seen the best that we can see in the anointing that we have and the word that we have, but something greater is coming. Something greater. It will be truly. Now, we do our best, and I do my best, to be just unleavened bread. You know, that's what he told us our name at the beginning of our ministry, Unleavened Bread Ministries. We do our best with the anointing that we have, which is all the former rain. But the latter rain is going to bring people in to the best, the truly unleavened bread. Everywhere I look, I want to try to be sure that the sum of thy words is truth. I want to try to be sure that I'm not leaving anything out. I'm learning just as you are learning about things that I haven't always known. And so we continue to search the scriptures because we know that the truth is there and it will be revealed, and that it will be revealed in our day even greater than ever before. And so we're very eager to find out these things. We don't want to add to or take away from the Word of God. If we do, we're liable to get deceived. Okay? But if we can find a precedent in the Word of God, and we're sure that the Lord is wanting to do that with us, then he will lead us into a supernatural ministry. And he's doing it now. And the latter rain is coming, and it's going to be even greater. It's going to have the attention of the whole world. The greatest revival that ever has been on the face of the earth. And more people are going to come into the kingdom in these days than throughout history. And it's going to be because the truth coming forth from people who have signs and wonders. He's going to confirm the truth with the power of God. And Lord, we thank you for it so much, because the attention ought to be on you and not on us. There's no great men out there. There's only men filled with a great God. And there's just no great men. But men think that they want to make great men or want to be a great man. Right? Man is man. God is God. The spiritual man is the one that goes to heaven. The carnal man doesn't even go to heaven. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Many people don't know that. It is your spiritual man that you feed the Word of God until he grows up into the life of Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. This is what we're looking for. And this is what we're praising God for. And we're not going to limit God to anything. God can do anything. Anything. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them. That's the key right there. And you shall have them. If you have that key, you're going to have a miraculous life. You need to apply it to everything. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you, Lord, and thank you for this word today. I ask you to bless everyone out there to be filled with your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, saints. Bye-bye.